All right. Ooh, all right. This morning, and we're glad you're here to be a part of this sermon series, and we're excited that we have the opportunity to look at what God has to say about so many things that can affect our lives on a regular basis. We're grateful that you've joined us, and for those who are joining online and streaming online, we're glad you're doing that. If you ever have a chance and you're close, come see us and be a part of things here in this worship service. You did notice on the stage, and I had several people ask questions last week about the various banners that are up here, and no, we're not celebrating Halloween, okay? We're not doing that. But the creative arts team came together and thought, what would depict a darkness in our lives? What would show us that if we allow these sins, these things that God speaks against, that create death and create separation from God, what would that look like? And so these images help us to know that it creates death in our lives, that we're separated from God when we allow these things to take over in our lives. So we want you to know that. We want you to be a part of that. So think that direction. Don't think in the direction of Halloween, because that's not why we're here, okay? We're here to celebrate God's goodness and getting us out of the darkness and into the light of Jesus. Last week we talked about anger. We talked about how anger can do that very thing. It can take us away from God. And this week we're going to talk about envy and jealousy and how God looks upon those things as well. So let's begin by praying together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the blessing you've given, for the word that speaks clearly and truly. We pray, God, that today as we open your word, that we will see what we need to see, hear what we need to hear, and that, Father, in studying out this topic, it'll help us to get away from those things that'll separate us from you. And so, God, help us to be attentive and keep our minds clear, and Lord, help us to pay attention to what you have to say. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You ever heard the phrase, you're green with envy? Yeah, that green color is something that we're using this week to depict that. You're green with envy. And yet, have you ever wondered what envy looks like? Well, let me show you a few images. I think this green eye paints a pretty good picture for us as we look at that, because most often envy and jealousy come from what we see and what we yearn to have and what we'd like to take into our lives. And so this green eye helps. But what about this one? Look at this little guy. He's got a popsicle. She's got a mega ice cream cone. He is envious of that ice cream cone, and I would be too. What about this next one? Big dog with a little bone? Little dog with what? Big bone, you know? That big dog's envious of that little dog and what he has, and envy is part of what he's doing, okay? What about this one? The two on the outside are looking at the guy in the middle and said, I wish I looked like that, you know? They're envious because he's got both, black and white, and they just have the one. And then there's this one I really like, Christmas. He's got these big presents stacked up. She's got this little one. Look at her face. Man, she is envious of what this guy has. But this is the one I really like. See this one? Little boy kissing a little girl, you know, on his right. Look at the little girl on the left. Man. Now, that could be anger, I'm not sure, but I think it's envy. And she's really upset that she's not getting the smooch, right? But I like this definition. And envy is the art of counting another's blessings instead of your own. Wow. Think about that for a minute. Envy is the art of counting someone else's blessings. Man, I wish I had what they had. Instead of counting your own. And that's envy, that's jealousy, that's where it comes into play in our lives and most often shows up. Several years ago, down in Kentucky, outside of Carrollton, Kentucky, a youth group was on their way home from a day at King's Island. They'd had a lot of fun. Their church bus was full of kids and sponsors. They were headed home, and just outside of Carrollton, Kentucky, on the interstate, a drunk driver going the wrong way on the interstate hit that bus in the front end. it shoved the wheel back into the stairwell where you get on the bus, and that metal then went backward and punctured the gasoline tank on that bus. Sparks from the bus sliding on the interstate ignited the fuel. People were pouring off the bus. I couldn't go out the main entrance, so everybody had to somehow get out the back, out that little emergency door, and they were piling that direction, and yet with the many people trying to get out, it didn't seem as if it was going to happen. And that night, at about 10:30, quarter to 11 at night, 28 people on that bus, two sponsors, and 26 children died on that bus. A couple years went by, and the insurance company came through, and they gave compensation, insurance checks to the families that were affected by this driver. And sadly, over a period of years, as families began to recoup and began to try to restore their lives without their children or without the spouse, people in the neighborhoods weren't so kind. In fact, some siblings who had lost their brother or sister in that accident heard things like, well, yeah, now you're probably glad your sister died on that bus because you got a lot of money and you think you're better than we are. That's envy. And that's jealousy at its darkest stage. King Saul did it. In the Old Testament, King Saul was the leader of the nation of Israel, and he started to mess up pretty bad. And God said, I'm going to replace you. And he chose David, a young teenager, to become the next king. And when David began to get the acclaim of the people, and they were singing songs about his victories in battle, Saul became jealous. He became envious of this young king, and he tried to kill him because of his envy. The story of Snow White. You know that one, don't you? The wicked queen went to the mirror every day. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? And the mirror over the years said, you are. Until one day the mirror said, sorry, Snow White's the fairest in the land. And the wicked queen became envious and jealous and tried to kill Snow White. I mean, that happens all the time. Scriptures that we can go to, Proverbs 14 and verse 30 says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. It comes from the inside out. And James 3:16, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Now, it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to happen that way. In fact, in the Scripture, in the Bible, we have a story of someone who didn't allow envy or jealousy to take over in their life. You find the story in John, the third chapter, John the Baptist, who is preparing the way of Jesus. John the Baptist was baptizing people and leading them out of their sin and that kind of thing. And here's what the Scripture says. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside where he spent some time with them, and they baptized. Now, John the Baptist also was baptizing at Enon near Salim because there was plenty of water, and people were constantly coming to be immersed. And this is before John the Baptist was put in prison. And an argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John the Baptist and said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, that man who is with you, Jesus, on the other side of the Jordan, you know, the one you testified about, Jesus. Well, he's baptizing and everyone's going to him. Envy, right? Jealousy. Everybody's going to that guy named Jesus. What about us? And here's how John the Baptist responded. To this, John replied, a man can receive only what's given him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I'm not the Christ, but I'm sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine. What's he saying? I've heard and seen the Savior. And I'm in joy because of that. The joy is mine and is now complete. Here's the phrase I want you to get, verse 30. He, Jesus, must become greater and I must become less. That's not envy. That's not jealousy. That's exactly how we should respond when we count our own blessings and not other people's. When John the Baptist said, I must become less, he made a great statement. It should speak to our hearts. We must become less. We must become humble. We must practice humility in our lives so that God can bless us in a greater way. In fact, the old gospel song that says, little is much when God is in it, that's where John the Baptist was. That's where you need to be as well. Because even if you take a lesser role in the kingdom of heaven, you know that God will bless that. And so envy, today I want you to know this. Envy is the enemy of contentment. Let me say that again. Envy is the enemy of contentment. And we're going to dive into that here in just a minute. But before we do that, I want to introduce you to envy.
A wise man once said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be there also. And I want your heart. I want it wrapped up, bound, and enslaved. I want it distracted and full of sorrow. I want it severed from your neighbor and hidden from God's touch. But I'm patient. I'm a hunter. I set a trap. Bait it with treasure, and I wait. I go by many names: envy, greed, jealousy, avarice. I am the great insatiable desire for more. I am the resentful evil eye you cast upon your neighbor until you stop counting your own blessings and start counting theirs. And can I just say, what a glorious time to be alive. Not since the days of the Roman Empire have I seen a more consumerist, entitled, pampered society. Every advertisement sings my name and reminds you that you will never have enough, that you really need this, that you deserve better. Every scroll through Facebook reminds you of happiness that ought to be yours, that job, that money, that vacation, that house, that marriage. I take God's blessings and belittle them. I twist them in your eyes. Soon you will have no satisfaction, no security, and no peace, only a constant burning discontent. I separate people into the haves and have-nots. With me by your side, you will defame and slander good, righteous people. You are Judas, enraged at the sight of unsold anointing oil. You are Cain, striking down your own brother in a field. You are the Pharisee, handing over Jesus for execution. I make you envy sinners their pleasures and saints their joy, and leave you with burdens and hardships of your own making. I can curse you with the false feeling of poverty with just the scent of your neighbor's new car. You will stop honoring God through your submission, your sacrifice, and your acts, and you will drink in my potent poison of unhappiness and become the antonym to charity. You will turn a blind eye to your neighbor's struggles because all you can see is his new phone. You will sell your soul to buy pieces of an artificial happiness that brings you no pleasure instead of an eternal treasure of immeasurable value that you could have gotten for free if only you'd asked. And at the end of your life, my trap springs. All your worldly spoils stay right here with me, and you will look around your hoard and realize that your hands are empty. Your heavenly inheritance is forfeit. And your heart? Well, that's mine.
And your heart, that's mine. Envy says that quite a bit. Jesus spoke about it in Matthew, the 20th chapter. If you have your Bibles this morning, you might want to open to that passage of Scripture. Matthew 20, Jesus told a story. We call them parables. The story was about a landowner, a guy who needed some help in his vineyards. And the Bible reads like this when Jesus tells the story. Now, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. Now, he agreed to pay them a denarius for the day, and then he sent them into his vineyard. Now, about the third hour, that's 9 a.m., he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing, so he told them, You also go to work in my vineyard, and I'll pay you whatever's right. So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour, that's noon, and the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour, 5 p.m., he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, why have you been standing here all day doing nothing? Well, because no one's hired us, they answered. Well, he said to them, you also go to work in my vineyard. Now, when evening came, around 6 p.m., they would close down in those days. The owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, now call all the workers, pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired, and going back to the first. The workers were hired about the 11th hour, that about 5 o'clock in the evening. They came, and each one received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first at 6 a.m., they expected to receive more. I could go down a whole different path right there, but I'm not going to. Okay? But they also received a denarius, and when they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us and have borne the burden of the day and the work. Why? But he answered one of them, friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? So take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? There it is. Are you envious because I am generous? Why don't you put in a few more words? Because I'm gracious, because I'm merciful, because I'm loving. Because I'm kind. You want to be envious because of that? So the last will be first, and the first, well, they'll be last. We often take this parable, this story of Jesus, and we say, well, it's talking about salvation, that people who make a deathbed confession or become Christians when they're 75 years old and only live another year and they serve God for 1 year, they're going to get into heaven just like anybody who was 8, 9, 10 years old and then lived their life for Jesus for 70 years, they're all going to get into heaven. That's true. That passage gives us that concept. But here's the one thing I want you to know, that when Jesus tells a story or a parable, there are pieces of those stories and parables that can also mean to us something different. And this idea of envy and jealousy comes out so clearly. It's kind of like when somebody else gets promoted at work and you don't. You might become jealous or envious of them. Or somebody gets an office with a window and you didn't get a window. You might be envious and jealous. Or somebody got 3 days vacation more than you got and you've been there as long and you may be envious or jealous of that individual. Really? That's what the Scripture's saying. And that happens all the time. In our lives, we do that not only in workplaces, but in our neighborhoods. And we, as the envy said up here today, we sometimes can even smell the new car parked in the next driveway, and we're envious that they got a new car. You see, we struggle with envy and jealousy in our lives because that's one of the 7 deadly sins. And that's the way Satan gets us to get into darkness instead of into the light of Jesus. Now, there are other scriptures that will help us see that as well. Beginning in Galatians, I want you to see these passages. Galatians 5, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, it goes on, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy. Oh, there it is, jealousy. Fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. Oh, there it is. We got both. Drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, Paul says, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. God put jealousy and envy in that list. Why? Because it's serious stuff. What about the next passage? We got one, another one we go to in 1 Corinthians. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Love, godly love, the kind of love we need to have for one another, it does not envy. There's no jealousy in pure love. We go on in Romans. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and, say it, church, jealousy. Yeah. Envy. We envy other people. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. You see, there we go. Paul writes it as well. And then one more. We want to jump to that one. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind, so that they do what ought not to be done. Here we go. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of, say it, church, envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, and no mercy. You see, envy fits right in there with all those things, doesn't it? And when we look at that, we find out that the Bible teaches us that envy is a part of being in the darkness. It's a part of being consumed by sin. So what do you do about it? I mean, how do you get out of that? How do you get out of the darkness and into the light? Well, first of all, as we did last week, I want you to see some of the consequences of envy being in control in your life. When envy controls you, when jealousy is out of control in your life, here's what normally happens. Consequences. Number one, fear. The fear of not getting what you want, but you might also write on your bulletin or in your note-taking, write this. It's also the fear of losing what you have. Okay? That's what envy does to us. It's the fear of losing what we have. In Matthew 20, verses 20 to 28, James and John, two of the disciples, and their mom went to Jesus, and the mom said, notice, mom asked, not the two, can my two boys sit at your right and your left when the kingdom is established? And Jesus said, that's not for me to decide. In fact, it's already been decided. But when the other 10 heard what had happened, they were indignant. Why? Because they were fearful of what they would lose. Their position with Jesus. Their position in the kingdom. Their position in what they thought they ought to be able to do. They were fearful of that. And sometimes we do the very same thing. We're not just fearful of what we do not have. We're fearful of what we might lose. And so that's what happens when envy takes over in your life. It's a consequence. Number two, you form a critical spirit. You know, you begin to undermine the success of others. You criticize those who are doing well. You don't want them to look too good, because if they look too good, you don't look so good. So what you do is you become critical in your spirit, and as you criticize them in front of other people, you look better to the other people. Or do you? Or do you? A critical spirit is a consequence of envy and jealousy in your life. And it shouldn't be there. Number three, comparisons. This is out there. Comparisons. You measure your success against others' success. You begin to look around you, and you want to know why that guy got that office with the window and you didn't. You're comparing yourself to other people. In fact, this happens quite often with athletes. Now, let me give you an example of that. You know, we have the Indianapolis Indians here in town, AAA team. The AAA team belongs to the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Pirates own the AAA team here in town. And most players at the AAA level, they don't compare themselves to the major league guys because that's not a fair comparison. But what they do is they look around on the team they're on and they compare themselves to somebody else on that team. And then when the major league team needs somebody called up and it's not them, it's one of their teammates. And they wonder, well, why did he get called up and I didn't get called up? I mean, my batting average is about the same. I've driven in just about as many runs. My defense is a little bit better. Why didn't I get called up? You see, we compare with people who are in the same category with us. It happens with preachers. Sometimes preachers will compare themselves, not with a preacher of a church of 10, 15, 20,000, but sometimes a preacher will look down the road about 2 or 3 miles and they'll see a guy doing really well and the church is growing and they begin to compare themselves to that when they ought to be serving God. It happens. It happens all around. Why? Because envy and jealousy creates comparison attitudes, and when we compare ourselves to others, we are doing so in order to make ourselves better or to give a reason why we should have what they have. Here's number four. We develop insecurity. You never feel like you have enough. You never feel like you've got enough in life. You become insecure with what God has already provided for you, and you think you need to have more. When J.D. Rockefeller years ago was asked, how much is enough? He said, $1 more. Every time, it's $1 more. And we do that in our lives. We become insecure because we don't think we're ever going to have enough, and that goes against the idea of contentment with what God's already given you. And here's number five. There's a lack of peace. You're not content with anything in your life. You have no peace in your life. You have no peace anywhere in your life. You're always comparing. You're always insecure. You're always fearful. You're always having a critical spirit. You're struggling with everything around you, and you're wondering why, and you're in that dark spot because envy and jealousy have overtaken you. Now, I could name 3 or 4 more, but we don't need to, because these are the most obvious ones that come up when envy controls us. So what do you do about it? What do you do about getting over envy and jealousy? How do you have God come in and help clean up your life? Well, let me give you some guidelines for defeating envy in your life. Let me give you some concepts here that are biblical that we want you to know that you can use in order to defeat envy in your life. Here's number one. Number one, admit that envy exists in your life. You got to admit that you got a problem. You got to admit that envy is a part of what you do on a regular basis. And if you envy others and envy their gifts and envy what they do, then admit it. Say so. And say so to God. And let Him know that you're struggling with this in your life. In James, the 3rd chapter, in verses 14 and 15, it says this, "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it and don't deny the truth." It's there. "Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and it's of the devil." Now, let me just shorten that and say this. If you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition, that is of the devil. You see, you got to admit that you got this issue in your life, and you got to tell God you need help with it, and then He'll jump in with His Holy Spirit and help you defeat envy. Here's number two. Admit that you are in conflict with God. Admit that you are in conflict with God. If you're in conflict with God, that means you're outside of His will. You are in the sin of envy. admit that you're in conflict with Him. Because anytime, listen, church, listen, anytime that you are outside the will of God, you are in conflict with God. Anytime you allow sin to rule in your life, now we know we all sin, but I'm talking about sin like envy that rules in your life. It controls you. When you allow that to control you, you are not only outside the will of God, you are in battle with God. You're in conflict with Him. That's not a good place to be. You don't want to be there. So admit that you're in conflict with God and ask Him to help you become a part of His will. Okay? Here's number three. Thank God for what He's doing in the other person's life. Now, most often when we become envious and jealous, it's of someone, not of something. Okay? So if you're jealous of somebody, you're envious of somebody, here's what you need to do. You need to begin to thank God for what God's doing in their life. I mean, anytime you do, if God's doing an amazing thing in somebody's life, don't be envious. Thank God that He's doing something really good in that person's life. And make sure you do that. Become thankful. An attitude of gratitude will always help you overcome sin or darkness in your life. Okay? Here's number four. Number four, pray for the person you envy or pray for the person you are jealous of their life. Pray for them. Pray for them by name. Pray for them specifically. Pray that God will bless them. Pray that God will move them forward. Pray that God will use them in the kingdom. Pray for the person that you envy or pray for that person whose life you would like to have. Now, you got to be careful with that one because God's plans are just as important for you as they are for the other person. So don't want to have their life. You want to have your life and use God's gifts to you to enhance the kingdom. Okay? Pray for them. That's never failed to work if you pray for somebody else. Here's number five. Focus your attention on what God is doing in your life. What God's got planned for you, what God's going to do with you, what God's going to make of you, what God's going to take your life and do with in the kingdom, focus on that and count your blessings instead of somebody else's. Okay? Those are five biblical approaches to overcoming envy. Let me throw in a bonus here, okay? I thought of this after I gave the outline to Phyllis, and I thought, man, this one needs to happen here. I want to throw this one in, and it's number six. Write it down because I didn't get it on the screen. Write this down. Change your thinking. Change your thinking. Make sure you change your thinking. Make sure you are thinking the things that God wants you to think about. In the book of Philippians, in the fourth chapter, in verse 8, the Apostle Paul writes to the Philippian church. Now, you know what the whole book of Philippians is about, right? Joy. You know, choose joy and get there. But in Philippians 4:8, he gives us several things that we need to be thinking about. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, man, think about those things. Change your thinking. Instead of being envious and jealous of other people, change your thinking. And you know what you're going to do? When you ask God for help to overcome envy and jealousy in your life, you know what you're going to do? You're going to begin to find fulfillment. Because remember, envy is the enemy of contentment. But I want you to know that the Bible tells us you'll find fulfillment in pleasing God instead of impressing people. You see, so often we want to impress people. I think your main goal in life should be to please God. And then when you please God, you're going to find fulfillment in your life and in what's going on around you. I want to close with this today. In the Old Testament, Psalm 37, if you have your Bibles open, you should turn there because there are four things there that I think will help you with this whole process of overcoming envy and jealousy. Four things that will help you overcome any of the deadly sins that we're going to talk about in the month of October. Any of those things that come up against you in life, you're going to find those in Psalm 37. And there are four things that stand out, beginning in verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. And then dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Here's number 2 in verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Here's number 3. Commit your way to the Lord and trust in Him, and He will do this. He'll make your righteousness shine like the dawn and the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. And here's number 4. It's in verse 7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways or when they carry out their wicked schemes. What did we see there? Here's the four things. If you shorten it down, here's the four things you need to have. Trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Be still before the Lord and wait on Him. And when you do that, you'll be able to overcome envy and jealousy. And you'll have a life that's full of contentment. And that's full of pleasing God. When you do those things, you'll be able to be within the will of the Lord. That's where you want to be. Now, some of you here today, you know, it's decision time. Some of you are saying, you know what, I don't know if I can do that. Sure you can. You can do that with the help of the Holy Spirit. That's why God gave us an indwelling gift. That's why God gives us the gift of the Spirit. You can overcome this. And some of you today, as you stand and sing, and some of you, while you're singing, need to come down front, and you need to give up your envy, and you need to give up your jealousy, and you need to begin to please the Lord. Some of you say, well, you know what, I don't even know Jesus as my Savior, and I need to know Him. Yeah, you do. Because He'll help you overcome all these things. You need to come down front, talk to one of our counselors, and come to Christ. Give Him your life. Give Him your heart. Trust in Him. Some of you don't know what you need to do. You're kind of in a quandary. You can go to the next step room after services and talk to one of our leaders and figure it out. But whatever you need to do today, you need to do it in the name of the Lord. And you need to do it for Him. So what do you need to do? I'm going to pray, we're going to sing, and as we sing, why don't you do what God's moving you to do today, to make a decision for Him. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank You. Thank You, Father, for teaching us from the Word that envy and jealousy, that they're going to rot our bones. But Father, we know when we begin to focus our attention on You, and we begin to count our blessings from You, that, Father, You'll help us to get beyond this envy and jealousy, and You'll help us to find contentment in You. And so, Lord, today, as we sing today, may we focus on what we need to do within You. And, Father, if we need to come and pray, if we need to come and turn our heart over to You, if we need to come and just commit ourselves, dump envy and jealousy at the altar, then, Father, help us to do that. May Your Spirit move, and may our hearts be convicted, and may we find it to be pleasing to be within Your will. We're going to pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen and amen.